supplication on Saturdays. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. Bismillah, words that seekers of sanctuary repeatedly recite. Words that the very cautious in search of protection often repeat. I seek refuge with Allah, the Exalted above all, from the oppression of the unjust, from the deceitful malice the envious use to lay snares and traps, from the injustice and outrage of the tyrants, and I sing his praise. Do better and go beyond other praisers. O Allah, thou art one, has no partner, and is the Lord Master without being made. There is no discrepancy or nonsense in thy commands, nor there is lawlessness in thy kingdom. I beseech thee to send blessings on Muhammad, thy servant, thy messenger. To let me ask thee for enlightenment and inspiration, so as to be thankful for thy bounties, which alone get thy approval ultimately. To help me to obey thee and instinctively worship thee, and make me deserve thy rewards on account of thy very patronage. And have mercy on me, and prevent me from breaking in the bounds of thy prohibitions, as far as I am kept alive, and show the way unto that which is useful and advantageous till I go on survive. To let me take to heart the meanings of thy book, and by its reading, throw down the heavy burden of sins, and receive welfare and salvation as a gift. Let not my family and friends who love me leave me alone. Let thy favors reach me in abundance during the remainder of my life, exactly as they used to be made available for me in full in the days gone by. O the Most Merciful.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. Dear brothers, dear sisters, salamun alaikum, and welcome to this episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. You're listening to us from Iran. We're going to speak about comparison of this life and hereafter.
I pray to God, my heart, soul, and body, every single day of my life, with every breath. I solemnly promise to try to live my life for you. Oh Allah, you did revive my soul and shone your light into my heart. So pleasing you is now my only goal. Oh, I love you so, I love you so,
But first, we look at the calendar. Today, Friday, 15th of Safar, 1445 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 10th of Shahrivar, 1402 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 1st of September, 2023 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. But first, as usual, we'll listen to a verse of the Holy Quran and then the important point of it. For today, chapter Al-An'am, verse 32.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Wa mal hayatu ad-dunya illa la'ibun wa lahw. وللدار الآخرة خير للذين يتقون أفلا تعقلون.
And the worldly life is not but amusement and diversion, but the home of the hereafter is best for those who fear Allah. So will you not reason?
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
This world without observing the next world is dangerous, but if this world be used as a pathway towards the next world, and also a preliminary field of planting the plants of goodness for the coming world, it can be a place of development. It should be noted, of course, that the cause of development and reaching the bliss in the hereafter is virtue. Imam Ali alayhi salam, peace be upon him, said, "Avoid vain pastime and play, chaffy words, too much laugh and joke, and futile statements. Avoid pastime and play, chaffy words, too much laugh and joke, and futile statements."
My life is not the same when I'm too concerned by what they say. Why should I wanna have you? To doubt you would be the worst mistake. Deep inside I know that amidst all the darkness and everything which makes no sense, I know that you exist. You are the light. You guides me through my darkest nights. Shows me right from wrong and right. Well, that often lies, 'cause I don't need anyone, anything in life, but you. No, I don't need anyone to show me my way. No, I don't need anyone but you.
About comparison of this life and the hereafter, we can say that Islam is a religion of balance and moderation, yes. So we should balance our supplications by asking for both goodness in this life and in the hereafter. The Prophet would ask Allah for good things in this life, such as well-being, health, and ease. The best thing to have after the faith that leads to paradise is well-being and ease in the world. So the Prophet has commanded us to ask Allah for well-being. There is no harm in enjoyment, comfort, and pleasure in the world within the limits of Islam. However, the Prophet also taught us to qualify anything we ask for in the world with the condition that it should not harm our life in the hereafter.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Dear brothers and sisters, in this session we shall be talking about this world and the hereafter and how we can achieve the excess of both worlds, this world and the hereafter. The lives of our Prophet and the Imams of Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam clearly encourage us to hard work for our financial independence. There are many examples that we can refer to actually prove such a statement. The Prophet himself engaged in trade and business when he lived with his uncle Abu Talib. He was in charge of the trade caravan of Lady Khadija, salamullah alayha, who later became his wife. It is well known that Imam Ali alayhi salam emancipated 1,000 slaves from the earnings of the toil of his own hands. The next example that I'm going to refer to is that Ali ibn Abu Hamza saw Imam Kadhim alayhi salam working in his farm while his feet had become dirty with mud. He went forward and said, may life be ransomed for you. Where are your men? The Imam alayhi salam replied, O Ali, those who were superior to me and my father have worked with their own hands and in their own farms. Ali asked, who can be that? The Imam said, the Messenger of Allah, Amirul Mu'mineen, and all forefathers, they have toiled with their own hands, and this is the tradition of the prophets and the messengers and the successors and the good doers in the history and the good people in the history. This is the answer that he received from Imam al-Kadhim alayhi salam.
Reflecting on different Islamic topics, short commentary of the Holy Quran, hadiths of the infallibles, lessons from the life of the infallibles, all in today's special from IRIB English Radio.
In this part, we learn about Muslim mindsets to live successfully in this world and the hereafter. This world or this dunya has no value to Allah. If the world to Allah was equal to a mosquito's wing, then he would not allow the believer to have a sip of water from it. From this hadith, Allah shows us how insignificant this world is to him. It has no value whatsoever because it is created as a test for mankind. When your teacher created your exam paper, did she or he think the exam paper or your score was more important? Of course, your score is the most important things, right? That is why Allah told us in the Holy Quran that after everyone dies from the time of Adam to the last person on earth, he will destroy this world on the day of judgment. It will be as if it never existed. That is why Allah says in the Holy Quran in chapter 3, verse 37, Allah provides sustenance to whom He pleases without measure. Can we strike the right balance? This is one important question. We can lead fulfilling lives by bringing more Islam into our lives. For example, we can become wise in our interactions and dealings with each other, fulfill our trusts and duties toward each other, be patient in adverse circumstances with an unwavering faith in Allah. Become thankful to Allah for His blessings and show gratitude to people as well for what we get from it. Earn our livelihood through lawful means and so on. Let's remember that when we live our lives according to what Islam teaches us, we not only live fulfilling lives, we are also pleasing Allah and thus contributing toward credits that will count in the hereafter. However, while living this life, none of these should take precedence over Allah's commands and none of these should divert us from our real purpose of life. The desire to attain the favor of Allah, the Almighty, should supersede all other considerations.
ما عندكم ينفد وما عند الله باق ولنجزين الذين صبروا أجرهم بأحسن ما كانوا يعملون. And surely we shall render unto those who are patient. Why from among all these attributes patience stands here, you know, prominent, important? وَلَنَجْزِيَنَّ الَّذِينَ صَبَرُوا. We will render to those their price, their reward, to those who exercise patience. Because Imam Ali alayhi salam says, patience to faith is like the head to the body. If you take fingers, maybe you survive. The arm, maybe you survive. Legs, you survive. Whatever you survive, eyes, you survive. Ears, you can survive without ears, you know, without nose. But can you survive without a head? We don't see a person walking unless he's a zombie without a head. We haven't seen so far. Imam Ali says, patience to faith is like the head to the body. If the head is missed, there is no body, there is no life. And if patience is missed and lost, there is no faith. There is no faith. You have to be patient. If you are hungry, you have to be patient. If you are lonely, you have to be patient. If you are sick, if you are being defamed and attacked and wronged and abused, you have to be patient. You have to fight for your justice, but you have to be patient. Don't lose. Patience here means don't lose your faith in God. Don't lose your hope that tomorrow is going to be better than today. Maybe tomorrow is going to take a long time to happen, but it will happen. Don't lose faith. Don't be despondent. This is the meaning of patience. Do not be despondent. Do not give up.
Dear brothers and sisters, thank you very much for listening to us. That was all for today's special. Inshallah, we meet you soon on the next episode of this program tomorrow. Same channel and same time. Thank you very much and fi amanallah.
Told me that I'm crazy, who you're praying for? They told me there is nothing, who you're looking for? Stop doing what you're doing, cause there is no hope. Just come with me, I'll show you what's behind your door. And they showed me all kind of lies. My eyes were like, yes, I was mesmerized. But deep inside, I know that there's a better world. Cause I'm a believer. I'm a believer.
Food for thought.
Hello everyone, and let us contemplate on this wise saying from the Holy Prophet's seventh infallible successor, Imam Musa Kazim, peace be upon him. Anyone who acknowledges God should not complain when his earnings are delayed, and should not accuse God of what he has decreed. Take pieces of bread from me, and your soul will never be broken. And if I am your haven, you will never be homeless. One whose cloak is me will never be naked. And one whose resort is me will never be destitute. God is above all powers. IRIB English Radio.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day with Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to our program Hadith of the Day here at IRIB English Radio. Today on Hadith of the Day, we are going to be looking at a very beautiful and noble hadith which has been transmitted from the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. This hadith is about the virtue of frequent and abundant ablution, meaning making the wudu, the ablution, frequently and abundantly. As you know, the ablution is one of the ritual acts of ibadat in Islam. It has been prescribed and has been, legislated as an obligation which we must perform before certain other rites, like, for example, the ritual prayer or the tawaf, the circling of the Holy Kaaba during the pilgrimage, and so on and so forth. In one place in the Holy Quran, we read the following: O you who have faith, when you stand up for prayer, wash your faces and wash your hands up to the elbows, and wipe a part of your heads and your feet up to the ankles. If you are junub, in a state of ritual impurity, purify yourselves. But if you are sick or on a journey, or any of you has come from the toilet, or you have touched women, and you cannot find water, then make tayammum with clean ground. Which is, unrelated to wudu, but actually related to the act of tayammum. In any case, wudu and ablution is not something which is specifically related and must be performed or can be performed during these times. A person can perform wudu and ablution at any time he wants, and it has reward and sawab. And in fact, the more we do this, the more will our sawab and our reward increase. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam said, perform ablution frequently, and Allah will increase your life. So one of the effects of performing ablution and wudu frequently and abundantly is that our lifespans will increase. And if you are able to be in a state of purity throughout the night and the day, then do so. And if you can be in a state of purity throughout the night and the day, then do so. For you, if you die in the state of purity, you will die as a martyr, which is, again, another one of the beautiful effects of having wudu all the time. That, if we can die in a state of ritual purity, then we will gain the same reward as the person gains who is a martyr on the path of God. And in this connection, the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is also reported as having said, "One who sleeps in a state of purity is as if he is praying the night prayers and is fasting. The person gets the same reward as he would get if he was performing the Salatul Layl, the night prayers, or is a person who is fasting." This is another one of the effects, or you might say one of the rewards, that a person gets if he performs wuzu and ablution abundantly. In fact, even if we have wudu, it's recommended and it has reward to perform wudu over the wudu. It's famous that Imam Sadiq alayhi salam said, "Al wudu o ala al wudu, nurun ala nur." Ablution upon ablution is light upon light. Thank you for joining us here on Hadith of the Day. We were looking at the virtue of frequent and abundant ablution in the words of the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Until next time, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha for the program Hadith of the Day on RIB English Radio.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
قد دعوتك ربي بقرآني جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسان ودعوتك ربي بقرآني.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين.
اللهم صل على محمد وآله محمد وعجل فرجه.
السلام عليكم respected brothers and sisters, dear Muslim brothers and sisters actually. Welcome to Let's Recite the Quran Karim, a series of Quranic sessions held by IRIB English Radio in cooperations with Sevier International Schools Network. Here we are again, alhamdulillah, with Brother Ali Nasir, Hussein, Hassan, and Fawad Haider. I really welcome you all. Assalamu alaikum jami'a. How are you? Fine. Everybody's fine?
Yes.
Great. Inshallah, today we will talk about an important topic, the same as other days, okay? An important topic is mentioned here. Allah Almighty says very good points here, as always. On ayah 142 and 143 of Surah An-Nisa. So before we go to the explanations, let's everybody have a listening to the recitation.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Innal munafiqina yukhadi'un Allah wa huwa khadi'uhum wa idha qamu ila ssalati qamu kusala yura'una ولا يذكرون الله إلا قليلا مذبذبين بين ذلك لا إله هؤلاء ولا إله هؤلاء ومن يضلل الله فلن تجد له سبيلا.
Nice recitation, mashallah. So let's see what Allah Almighty says in these two verses. So, بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن المنافقين يخادعون الله. The hypocrites, look, one of the characteristics of the qualities of hypocrites, munafiqeen, is this, that they are trying what? To what? To deceive Allah. They're trying their best. They think like whatever they do is like they are deceiving Allah, okay? And Allah is so, for example, weak to be deceived, to be tricked, okay? The hypocrites indeed seek to deceive Allah. وَهُوَ خَادِعُهُمْ But it is Allah Almighty who outwits them, who deceives them. Okay? وَإِذَا قَامُوا These munafiqeen, one of the characteristics of this munafiqeen is this. وَإِذَا قَامُوا When they stand up إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ For the prayers. قَامُوا كُسَالَى They stand up lazily. Okay? يُرَاؤُونَ النَّاسِ Oh, whenever, even if they pray, when they pray, they are doing their prayers in order to show themselves off to the people. وَلَا يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا And they do not remember Allah Almighty, except a little. In the next ayah, Allah Almighty says, مُذَبْذَبِينَ بَيْنَ ذَلِكَ Wavering in between. Neither with this group, with kuffar, nor with those group, with the believers. لا إلى هؤلاء ولا إلى هؤلاء ومن يضلل الله and whomever Allah leads him to astray, misguides him, فلن تجد له سبيلا You will never find any way for him. So, this ayah talks about an important thing. Look, sometimes it happens. God forbid, sometimes it happens. May Allah protect us. Sometimes it might happen, okay, that we go to a party, okay? Well, actually, for example, people know that you are from a religious family. You are, for example, a religious student maybe, okay? And you care about prayers, these things. This is something that happens to ourselves, okay? We should be careful about it. Everybody is busy doing like playing, having fun, whatever, okay? Telling stories. And since they have, like, they believe like you are a religious person, okay? And you care about prayers. Your intention, like you get up and you go and pray, okay? It's, for example, Adhan is being announced. It's time to pray. So you go and pray. Make sure, God forbid, your intention that time should not be this, that. I should go and pray. Why? Because my friends should still have this belief about me that I'm religious. Okay? They should not change their mind. Okay? They should still respect me because of being religious. Okay? This intention should not be with us. Our intention should be solely for Allah Almighty. I'm doing my prayers because of Allah Almighty. It's not because my friends should respect me. It's not because my friends should think about me like as a good person. No, I know myself. I am a good person or not, okay? I know myself. But it happens. Nifaq or munafiqat happens, okay, to our intentions as well. So if God forbid we do this, we do our prayers because our friends should not change their minds about us, okay? This is not ikhlas. This is munafiqat. And also, God forbid, if we... For example, at home when I'm alone, okay? My prayer, how much time does it take? How long does it take, for example, for me to finish my Maghrib prayer? Maybe it takes 3 minutes or 4 minutes, okay? But when I go to a party, okay? With my friends, okay? Oh, it's time to pray, okay? I go start. Oh, 10 minutes, 12 minutes, 15 minutes. Oh, how much time it takes, okay? And my intention is this, that my friends should think about me. Oh, he is really godly. He's heavenly. He's an angel. If the prayers, the time that I spend praying, extending my prayer, okay? Stretching the time, yeah? This, if this is for my friends, this is what Allah Almighty says. قَامُوا كُسَالَ يُرَاؤُنَ النَّاسِ. This is showing off to others. No questions?
No.
So, we should be really careful. God forbid, even if we become so overwhelmed sometimes, yeah? We become so overwhelmed. It means what? The situation, okay, will affects us a lot, okay? Affects us a lot. Oh, one story, let me tell you. Then we'll move on to the tajweed laws, okay? There was a guy, okay, doing his prayers. Like, he was having the qunut, okay, doing the qunut. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad, making dua, okay, reciting dua. Somebody was crossing, okay? And he said, oh, what a mu'min person. He's really doing his prayers very well. So what do we get calm, so humble. Okay, he's really good. Then this guy who was praying, okay, he paused his prayer. He said, oh, I'm fasting today as well. So look, his prayer is not for Allah. His prayer is showing off. قلب بالحق تعلق وبغارح راء تألق يبكي يسأل خالقه فأتاه الوحي فأشرق اقرأ اقرأ.
Let's recite the Quran.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
Let's move on to the tajweed rules. Mention some important ones. If you have any questions.
No.
Okay, inna al-munafiqina. So inna, we've mentioned a lot, many times, when it has a tashdeed, nun mushaddad, mim mushaddad, you should extend the sound for two beats, and also a nasal sound, you should pronounce it with a nasal sound. Inna, not inna. Inna, no. Inna. Inna al-munafiqina. You skip Hamzat al-Wasl. يُخَادِعُونَ خَا is a heavy letter, pronounce it with an A sound. يُخَادِعُونَ اللَّهَ. The word Allah is also pronounced, since there is a fatha. It's pronounced heavily, Allah. وَهُوَ خَادِعُهُمْ وَإِذَا قَامُوا. قَا is a heavy letter, yes. إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ. La is a light letter. صَلَاةِ قَامُوا كُسَالَا آآ light letters. يُرَاؤُونَ يُرَا, ra is a heavy letter. So mad is there and hamza. Both are in the same word. The mad is wajib. يُرَاؤُونَ, right?
Yes.
يُرَاؤُونَ النَّاسَ. Nun has got a tashdid. Extend the sound. وَلَا يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. Many times we have mentioned, قَلِيلًا changes to
قَلِيلًا.
مُذَبَذَبِينَ مُذَبَذَبِينَ بَا
قَلْقَلَ.
It's pronounced with a قَلْقَلَ sound, a bouncing sound. مُذَبَذَبِينَ بَيْنَ ذَلِكَ لا إله إلا الله. So لا, the mad is not wajib. You can extend it or ignore it. But هؤلاء, it is wajib. And ولا إله, again the same way. هؤلاء, the same way. So جيم, baby جيم on the top says,
It's جائز. You can continue. Yeah,
you can continue or
stop.
Stop here. وَمَنْ يُضْلِلِ اللَّهِ. Nun Sakin we've got here. مَنْ وَمَنْ يُضْلِلِ اللَّهِ. You should read it this way and merge the sound. وَمَنْ يُضْلِلِ اللَّهُ فَلَنْ. You hide the sound here, yes? Hide the sound of Nun. فَلَنْ and extend it. فَلَنْ تَجِدَ لَهُ سَبِيلًا. Again changes to سَبِيلًا. So, brothers and sisters, get ready to recite and repeat with us here in the studio. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.
Innal munafiqina yukhadi'una Allaha wa huwa khadi'uhum.
Innal
إن المنافقين يخادعون الله وهو خادعهم
وإذا قاموا إلى الصلاة قاموا كسالى يراءون الناس ولا يذكرون الله إلا قليلا
وإذا قاموا إلى الصلاة قاموا كسالى يراءون الناس ولا يذكرون الله إلا قليلا
أحسنتم ما شاء الله مذبذبين بين ذلك لا إلى هؤلاء ولا إلى هؤلاء
مذبذبين بين ذلك لا إلى هؤلاء ولا إلى
ومن يضلل الله فلن تجد له سبيلا
ومن يضلل الله فلن تجد له سبيلا
صدق الله العلي العظيم
Sadaqallahu
al-Aliyyul Azim. Allah bless you, inshallah. See you in the next session with the next verses of Surah and Nisa. Stay with IRB English Radio, brothers and sisters. Wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina Muhammad wa alihi al-tahirin.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajjil farajahum.
Let's recite the Quran, a joint production of IRIB English Radio and Xavier International Schools.
ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن
Rabbana, Rabbana.
Ask the followers of the remembrance if ye know not.
Rabbana, Rabbana, ya Rabbana, ya Rabbana, ya Hayyu, ya Qayyum, Munawwir Qalbana.
You're listening to the program The Key on IRIB English Radio with Shiraz Hussain Agha, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom and a PhD in philosophy.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to our program, The Key, here at IRIB, English Radio. Today on The Key, we are going to be examining a very interesting question. And that question is this. What are the signs of the Shia, the signs of the followers of the Ahlul Bayt, alayhim as-salam? A lot of us have been born in Shia families. You know, this is a blessing that we should be thankful for. A lot of us were not previously, followers of the way of the Ahlul Bayt, but we were guided by God to this path. For this, again, we should be thankful. And, you know, if people ask, are you Shia? We acknowledge this, we assert this, and we say that we're Shia. But we want to ask today, what are actually the signs of the true Shia and the true followers of the Ahlul Bayt? Is it because we acknowledge their rights? Is it because we acknowledge their merits and their virtues? Does that make us a Shia? Well, a lot of the enemies of the Ahlul Bayt, they themselves acknowledged that the, you know, the Ahlul Bayt were superior to them, that and that they were virtuous, and you know, they were more deserving of, you know, the caliphate or whatever than they were themselves. So definitely they were, and they were not considered Shia. So we cannot consider this as the, you know, the true signs of the Shia and the followers of the Ahlul Bayt. So then what is the sign of the Shia? Is it because we cry for Imam Hussein and we mourn his martyrdom, or the martyrdom of the Imams alayhi salam? Well, you know, it's been narrated that, you know, from Imam Hussein alayhi salam, he said that, "I am one who was killed by tears," which, you know, has many interpretations. One of the interpretations which has been given about this, for this statement, is that, you know, even the enemies of Imam Hussein, while they were fighting him and they were attempting to kill him, a lot of them were brought to tears, and they were, you know, heartbroken at what they were doing when they saw the you know, the state in which Imam Hussein and his followers were. Right, so this is definitely not the sign of the Shia. What is the sign of the Shia? What are their characteristics? Fortunately, we have many hadiths which allude to this, and we can take inspiration from those hadiths to learn about what the signs of the Shia are, so that we can adopt these characteristics for ourselves, inshallah. In one hadith, we read the following from Imam Al-Hasan alayhi salam. Imam Hasan alayhi salam said the following to a man who came to visit him. This man said, "Verily, I am one of your Shia, I'm one of your followers." You know, Shia means follower. Imam Hasan said, "O Abdullah, if you are truly obedient to us in our commands and prohibitions, then you are telling the truth. But if not, then do not add to your sins by falsely claiming such a dignified position that you are not worthy of. Do not say, 'I am one of your Shia,' but say, rather, 'I am one of your adherents and one of your lovers and an enemy to your enemies. You are good and aiming towards good.'" So perhaps the Imam is in this hadith signifying the fact that this designation of being a Shia is reserved for the choicest of the adherents and followers of the Ahlul Bayt. For the other general followers of this way of thought, other designations have been given, such as the lovers of the Ahlul Bayt, the adherents of the Ahlul Bayt, the enemies of their enemies. Right? So this is tells us the sole criteria is the fact that we follow their orders and prohibitions. Thank you for joining us here on The Key. We were looking at these signs and distinctions of the Shia in the light of the hadith. Until next time, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Shiraz Hussein Agha, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom and a PhD in philosophy, on the program The Key on IRIB English Radio.
You can also send your questions to englishradio@irib.ir.
Every night and every day, every night and every day, never forget to say, La ilaha illallah. Never forget to say, La ilaha illallah.
IRIB English Radio, a heralder of unity and solidarity amongst Islamic denominations.
The last Savior.
Oh, the Savior of mankind, please show us the sign. to the designer of the human civilization that is established on the unity of Almighty Allah. To the redeemer of human volition and thought.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. A very warm welcome to another session of The Last Savior. In this program, we discuss about Imam Zaman, alayhi salam, and we try to get the most updated information about Imam of our time from our experts. And today in our studio, we have had the pleasure to invite Dr. Karibi. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
A very warm welcome, sir.
Thank you for having me.
Well, Dr. Karibi, we have been talking about the reaction of people on hearing the heavenly cry, which is one of the signs of the reappearance of Imam Zaman, ajallaha ta'ala faraja. And you told us that in the previous episode, there are mixed reactions from the people, and you're supporting your answers with the narrations. Yes.
As I mentioned, according to the narrations, the first reaction of the people to this heavenly cry is that all the people of the earth, including the enemies of the religion of Islam and the Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam, would believe in Imam. But unfortunately, later they would be deceived by Satan again. And of course, the path is clear for them. This is the divine way and this is the satanic way. Of course, the tyrant people would follow the Satan. We've said before that all the people would hear the call. Now, one may ask that, what about those people who are asleep? And the narrations also have addressed this group of people. And the fact is that all of the people who are asleep, they would wake up and they would hear this heavenly call.
Okay.
So we have five narrations, for example, with the phrases like "Tuqizun Na'im." This heavenly cry will awake the people who are asleep. Al-Ghiba by Nu'mani, page 266. Or "La yabqa raqidun illa istayqadha." There is no one who is asleep except that he wakes up. Fata'an min dhalika as-sawt, out of fear for this heavenly call. As I mentioned, at the end of the day, it is not very illogical to claim that there can be a kind of fear even for those people who have been waiting for the Imam.
Right.
Because this call is sudden and with all those miraculous ways. So at least at the first place, it might cause a bit of fear even for the people who have been waiting for the Imam.
Right.
Or فَلَا يَبْقَى رَاقِدٌ إِلَّا قَامٌ. No one is resting except that they would stand up. Another narration reads, it would cause people who are asleep to wake up. It would go to the court of their house to see what this call is all about. So this is another reaction of the people. And the next point is that, as I mentioned, the narrations refer to the fact that those people who hear this voice, the asleep people would wake up, and those people who are awake, they will feel a kind of fear as well. At least, some of the people. Imam Hadir Islam says, "Tafza'u al-yaqzan." This heavenly call caused people who are awake to feel a kind of fear. This is in Al-Ghiba by Nu'mani, page 266, hadith number 17. Another narration, or another group of the narrations, refer to the fact that those people who are standing, they will sit, and those people who are sitting, they will stand up. Again, referring to a kind of fear for the people that caused people to change the position that they are in. The narration reads, وَلَا قَائِمٌ إِلَّا قَعَدٌ. There is no one standing up except that they will sit. وَلَا قَاعِمٌ إِلَّا قَامْ عَلَىٰ رَجْلَيْهِ. And no one is sitting except that they would stand up on their feet out of fear for that heavenly call.
Right.
This is mentioned in Al-Ghiba by Nu'mani, page 262, hadith number 13.
Right.
So all these narrations refer to the fact that we can expect different reactions
from
by
different
people,
groups of people,
and
right.
including fear by some people and surprise and astonishment, maybe for all the people, those people who are asleep, they wake up.
They will be waking
and,
up.
And different reactions for showing this fear. Right. Like if you're standing, you sit. If you're sitting, you stand up.
Right. Well, Dr. Karimi will discuss more about this sign with you after a short break. Dear listeners, stay tuned.
I can feel your eyes like the sun shining behind the clouds. I need a morning to shatter this long night forever. I need a hero to stop this thousand-year-old
Welcome back. You're listening to IRIB English Radio. This is The Last Savior. We are with Dr. Karimi, and we're discussing about the sign Heavenly Cry. Dr. Karimi, since you said that there are different people hearing the Heavenly Cry and there are different reactions, now, since we have different reactions, what are the consequences of this Heavenly Cry?
As I mentioned regarding the reaction of the people, in the first stage or initially, all the people would believe in the Imam and also the content and the message of the heavenly call. But gradually, the true reaction of the people of belief and people of disbelief would be shown. And this is also mentioned in the narrations. So first of all, the first, following up event is the appearance of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam says, وَيَخْرُجُ الْقَائِمْ مِمَّا يَسْمَعْ وَيَسَيْحَةُ جَبْرَيْلَ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ. As soon as Imam Mahdi alayhi salam himself also hears this heavenly call, he would reappear. This is Al-Ghiba by Nu'mani, page 301, hadith number 6. The first reaction of the people, as I mentioned, could be fear accompanied with surprise. But maybe after some minutes or hours, the people of faith, those people who have been waiting for Imam Mahdi alayhi salam for a long time, it would cause them a lot of joy and happiness, and this is mentioned explicitly in the narrations. So that heavenly call, although it may cause fear at the first stage, but after people coming to know about the reality of the message, they come to know that this is the time for the reappearance of the Imam, so the people of faith, those people waiting for the Imam would be so much happy. The Imam says, "Ala dalika yawmun fihi surur wald Ali wa shi'atihi."
Right.
This is the day of happiness and joy for the children of Imam Ali alayhi salam and his Shia, his followers. Right. Al-Ghiba by Nu'mani, page 144, hadith number 3. And then on the other side, we have the disbelievers, and specifically we are talking about those groups of people who know the reality, but they will resist the truth. The tyrant people, the arrogant powers, these are the main enemies of the Imam, because we said in the past that the majority of the people on the earth would believe in Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, including Sunni Muslims, for example. They come to know that this is the promised Mahdi. The Christians would come to know that this is the promised savior of the earth, because Jesus would support the Imam.
Right.
But those disbelievers who are tyrant, and they also know the truth.
Right.
And that is why they believe in Imam Mahdi alayhi salam in the first stage.
Right.
But then they come back to their own disbelief and resist against Imam Mahdi alayhi salam. And of course, they would be in minority and they would be defeated by the Imam. Now, this point brings us to another very important discussion, and that is a satanic call.
Right.
So, in line with the narrations that talk about the heavenly call,